Well, the Lord has given Gail something to share this evening, so if we could welcome her up. Extend our hands towards her. Lord, we thank you for what she's about to give to us. It comes from her heart, put there by you. And we ask for open ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is trying to speak. Amen.
I went into the book. I was reviewing the words that Kim shared on Sunday from the book that the Apostolic Reformation. And as I was going through it, I just leafed back through it. I had read this some time ago. And I came across some heavily underlined words. And as I started to read them, it was about the same time Peggy called me. And she said, "I'm not getting anything." And she said, "Do you have?" And I said, "Not really." So I went back into prayer. And as I went back over this, because it blessed me, I'm trusting it will bless you. And I called her back and I said, "Yeah, I feel that there's something here to share. That if I was blessed by it, then the rest of the body will be blessed also." It's a book by Doug Fortune. And as we all know, Doug has a very unique way of teaching that is also in his book. As he teaches verbally, he teaches in his book. But this book was written, I went back to the very beginning of the book, and it was written when he was going through a very drastic change in his life. So in the beginning, and I did go back and read that, and it's strange how when you let something go and you go back to it, the meaning just gets in so deeply compared to the when I first read it. He was praying for some people in his church. And lo and behold, the Lord revealed to him that it wasn't the people, it was him. And he went through a very, very deep time, and he even writes a letter to the Lord. So this book comes out of this time that he did that. And I was blessed. So I'll just share a couple of thoughts that he had in here that are so pertinent to, I feel, where we are. And the first one that I'm sharing comes from, I think, a scripture we're all familiar with. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." So as I went back over this, the scripture that was speaking is 2 Corinthians 10:5. I'm going to bounce through quite a few scriptures that he uses to make his point, shall I say. He does make it very well. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, "Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings, and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ." He also shares in this another scripture that ties directly into this, and then I'll expand from there. Colossians 3:3. And I think as I go back over this, Colossians 3:3 pretty much makes the point that he is teaching in this chapter. "For as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God." Okay, Lord. I am dead. We all know that we were nailed to the cross and that we died with Christ. But comes the question, okay, how do I die? This thing keeps coming up that's, it's not you. The word clearly tells us to strip ourselves of our old nature. We know that our old nature has lusts and desires that are not from God, and that we have these thoughts that are not from God. And what do we do with that? I don't know about you, but I got a couple of strongholds in my mind that I really wish were not there. But they are. And I'm going through that process, so this was very helpful to me. So he uses a very interesting example here. Suppose someone is offensive towards you. Your soul, which is your Adam nature, tells you that you have a right to be treated better. And you don't have to put up with this stuff that this person's giving you. Because after all, you have a right. You can get angry with the person. You can show your anger in more than one way. We're very good at that. You can either walk away, cold shoulder. You can shut them off from your mind. You can verbally put them in place if that so happens. It might be a gentle verbal, but nonetheless, you're putting them in their place. Or we can be very spiritual and get that wound inside there and walk around with this wound inside and, oh, isn't this something? I've got this great big wound in there. We can all do that. But if we adhere to God's word, in reality, we're dead. So being dead, we don't have any rights. We also have no place being defensive against anyone. And we have no way of holding any form of unforgiveness. You can confront a person with their godly behavior, ungodly behavior, but not in a defensive manner. Because you are dead. And the only thing alive in you, according to God's word, is your life is hidden with Christ in God. So unforgiveness is not an option. You forgive them. There's no discussing that. And you can turn their behavior over to the Lord and just let it go, rather than holding them in that little severe that you might like to, that feel that gives you the right to judge. That's not what God's word teaches us. Well, I recently went through something like this, and I found that I had to go to the person and profusely ask for forgiveness. And it's after that I was reading this. So I'm going to take you also to 2 Thessalonians 2:8, because Doug gives my remedy. Even though it says here I'm dead and my life is hid with Christ in God, I've still got this struggle going on. So as I go over to 2 Thessalonians 2:8, it gives me another piece. It says here in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, and then the lawless one, and in the Amplified Bible that says Antichrist, will be revealed, and the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and bring him to an end by his appearing at his coming. So this tells us that this man of sin is being revealed, and we know that our old nature, Adam, is the man of sin that we all inherited. But it also tells me that Christ will slay him with the breath of his mouth. Well, where is Christ? Christ is right inside of me. So if Christ being inside of me and someone during the day, or it could be a thought, it could be anything. And there's some type of offense, some type of attack, whatever it is. And the man of sin is revealed unto you, something comes up in your old nature that shouldn't be there. That's when it's your time to say, that feeling is a lie. I have compassion for this person that just offended me in any manner. And this compassion is not from any other source but Christ himself. I have compassion for this one who is being offensive. So I respond from my spirit. I allow my spirit to come out. The Lord has been really dealing with me quite intensely for about 2 weeks now of far more praying in tongues during the day. I am finding myself doing this more and more and more, and so my spirit is growing stronger, is responding more than it was, and is beginning to overwhelm these old feelings. So up comes the spirit to overwhelm this feeling in my soul, and it is a feeling that is not right towards the person that's offending me. So I respond from my spirit. What's going on in my soul is a principality and power, which is obviously not from God, it's from our enemy. I can't defeat that principality and power with my soul. Not going to happen. I've got to defeat him with something greater, which is my spirit. So as I allow the Christ in me, it's all there, as I allow the Christ in me to come up, to overwhelm and with the breath of his mouth. Now notice it's Christ, it's not me. The breath of Christ coming up in me to slay that man of sin that still resides in my soul. And as I persist in this type as I just persist in this day after day after day, those areas of my soul that I've been struggling with, that have strongholds, they're going to be overwhelmed with the Christ in me. That my soul becomes filled with Christ, and the man of sin is slain, as according to the word, I'm dead. Well, that's sometimes a little hard to struggle with, because, Lord, this thing in me is still alive, but not according to God's word. But by this, I'm renewing my mind. My mind is getting renewed as I allow the Christ. Now, Doug makes a very interesting point here that I needed correction for. I'll share it with you. Your focus must not be on overcoming the sin nature in you. Your focus must be on Christ, who has already overcome the sin nature in you. Let me say that again. I had to read this a few times. Your focus must not be on overcoming the sin nature. Your focus is on the Christ in you that has already overcome the sin nature. So it's Christ doing it. You allow it, but it's Christ doing it. He's doing all the overcoming because he already has. And you're allowing it to take place. As we know from Scripture, that when we're joined to the Lord, we become one with him. I don't know about you, but that one with him is a real... that's an area that for me is like one, becoming one. That's an area that I'm walking through, but I'm asking the Lord every step of the way. Because that is a difficult area for me to connect with being one. So inside of us is like a picture of the temple that was back in the time of our Lord. Way in the back part of the temple, or you want to picture the tabernacle, is the Holy of Holies. That's what's in our spirit. Our soul is the holy place. So we are allowing the Holy of Holies to become the major part of us more and more and more and more. And as he comes up, just like back when Jesus died, the veil was rent. Well, that's what happens inside of us as we allow the Christ in us to come forth, to slay it. He's slaying the veil that's in our soul. And by slaying that, in comes the glory of the Lord. So the glory of the Lord becomes part of us. But unlike Jesus, when he only had to do it once, we discover that we have to do it sometimes moment by moment. There could be days when it's all day long because we're having a major struggle. But we do discover that this is a place where we need to do it constantly, consistently. If we're going to let the Lord overcome the sin nature, if we're going to allow him to do the work that we need doing, that we can finally say, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And as we read again in Colossians, in him also you are circumcised, in a spiritual circumcision performed by Christ. So we know it's nothing that we do. We have God's word to tell us in Colossians that he does it. He does the work here of stripping off the flesh, that old nature is done away. That led me into the next chapter where this ties very neatly together, which is an area that I very strongly needed. God bless you, Paul. What he ties in here is we all know the story of when Jesus went to Lazarus and he resurrected Lazarus. But one very interesting little teeny sentence there that we know is the shortest sentence in the Bible, Jesus wept. Why would Jesus die? Was he Jesus dying because of this horrible situation that his very dear friend died? Because he was late coming to the death? No, we already know from God's word that he went there at the exact time the Father told him to come. He already knows he's going to resurrect him because the Father's told him he's going to resurrect him. So why is he weeping? As he's standing there, try to visualize yourself, and I tried to do this. Visualize yourself. You're back then. And you're part of the crowd that's there when Jesus appears. Jesus comes up. He knows what he's going to do. But being part of this, what thoughts might be going through your mind? He's late. Lazarus is already dead. He's in the tomb. I don't know what he's going to do now. What? He's here. We have no conception of the amount of power that's going to be shown us at this point. But Jesus does. So in his compassion for us that don't know the amount of power that's going on within him that's going to be released, he weeps in compassion for us that don't have the revelation. Which is what Christ is looking for from us. When we meet this person, we're around anybody that is not where we're at, that doesn't have a clue of who the Lord is, doesn't have a clue of the amount of power granted, we all don't have that as yet, but we've seen and we've heard of the amount of power. But Jesus doesn't look down his nose at those that didn't get it. And he's asking that we do likewise. Because their revelation is so limited. And that's what made him weep. So when we go about proclaiming our message of God and his kingdom, and there's going to be a number of people that aren't going to have any idea what we're talking about, we're going to bump into, and I'll give you Doug's list that I had to look at. Say, I recognize these people. There will be good people that are trying to live their life for Jesus, but they still have their life. There will be those that are going to try to struggle to crucify their flesh themselves. Their focus is on their soul, because they're unable to grasp the finished work of the cross. And he asks a very pointed question here. What will our response be? There could be those that you bump into that will be like Martha. I have one in my life. That after we die, then we're going to get it all. Not seeing that the present reality is what God is saying. There could be those that think what they're hearing in their soul is the voice of the Spirit. And there could be those that just agree mentally. It hasn't reached their heart. And then there's those that have the Pharisaical religious spirit. And the only question Doug's voices in all of this that he's making his point is, how will we respond? And he makes his point here that no amount of our verbal communication to this person is going to do it. It's by revelation. And our hearts need to be filled with the compassion of Jesus for that person or persons to get the revelation that we have. They need that revelation just as desperately as we did, which is the reason why we respond with compassion. Revelation can't be taught. I can't give it to another person. It's available to them, and we stand and pray. So I saw the tying together of these, which are the first two chapters in his book, of slaying the old man with the Christ in us and allowing that presence to come up and overtake any area in our soul that is not, it should be dead, but it's not yet. And then recognizing too that when that happens, there's a compassion that comes up inside that's obviously not me. And this compassion is for those that are not in that place and don't see it either. And that was what I felt to share with you. Short, simple, and to the point.